everyone. Welcome to episode number 25 of Quilt Cabana Corner. I'm Sandy Caldwell, and I will be your host today as we talk about a little of this and a little of that in the quilting world. So I hope that everybody had a really enjoyable Thanksgiving if you were in the States. And if not, I hope you just had a wonderful weekend. We were all eating turkey and decorating the house for Christmas and all of that. So now I'm back to work, but I have to say I really did enjoy the Black Friday sew-in that happened on the day after Thanksgiving on Twitter. It was a fun Twitter party with all of our quilty friends working on projects and posting their progress. If you haven't had a chance to sign on to Twitter and join us for one of these sew-in days, you really should. You're missing out on a lot. I think we're building some great friendships there, and it's nice to share our thoughts on quilting with other people who actually care about quilting and want to hear about it. Sometimes those types of people are few and far between, I'm finding out. At any rate, grab your cup of coffee and settle in, and we'll get on with the episode. I don't really have a magazine roundup for today because I only received one magazine between now and the last time that I recorded an episode, and that was the Quilt Life, the December 2012 issue, and I'm not quite through with it yet, so I did just receive two more in the mail, so hopefully the next time that I record a podcast, I will have some magazines and fun things in them to share with you. I was also busy reading the autobiography of Santa Claus for my book club, and just a perfect time of year to read that book, and it was really very, very interesting and cute and full of historical fiction, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great book. I think I talked about it before in the last podcast, so I'm not really going to go into that, but we will be discussing that on December 5th at the book club and choosing our new book for discussion. So I can hardly wait to see what we're reading next. I did receive an interesting email from the group that coordinates quilting travel trips. So this was quite a surprise when I opened my email, and it's the group that Jim West runs. Jim West is of Chicken Soup for the Soul fame. That's what he did before he started this travel business for quilters. He was the editor and founder, I believe, of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. So at any rate, I opened my email to find that I had been identified as a quilting professional. So I don't know what you have to do to be identified as a quilting professional, but apparently I received that designation from this group. And they wanted to know if I was interested in being a teacher slash escort for an upcoming trip to Ireland. They have one in 2013 and one in 2014. And here was the only hitch. I could get to go for free and be a teacher slash escort if I can get 20 people to go with me. So what do you say? Anybody want to go to Ireland? I was thinking to myself, oh, that would be so fun. We could go tour Ireland. We could do a fusible applique class and how much fun that would be. So the timing obviously is not right for me right now to go do that. But if anyone at any time is interested in doing a trip like that and you want to travel with me, let me know, because I bet we could find 20 people to go with us. So that was very exciting to hear from them. And of course, I sent the email to my husband right away. I said, hey, want to go to Ireland? And he said, hey, you need 20 people to go with you. So anyway, if you guys ever want to travel together, we could do it. We definitely could do it. So that was very fun. This week, I've ordered something new for myself, and I am stocking UPS like you wouldn't believe for it. The item that I ordered is a dry iron. I know, we're back to the iron thing again, and I wish someone would just invent an iron that actually gets wrinkles out of fabric and does not leak. So I'm putting that out there as a challenge to any manufacturer who might be listening to this podcast right now, because you never know. We need a better iron. I have spent a couple hundred dollars on Rowentas, that have either stopped steaming altogether or just started spitting brown, yucky stuff all over my fabric. And I have cleaned them out too, so it's not from not caring for the iron properly. It's just that they're poorly made. And I hate to say that for the amount of money I've spent on them. And I also currently have a cheapo $20 Walmart Black & Decker. And from day one, that iron has never, ever truly ironed anything. It looks like it's ironing when it's on the ironing board. And then when I hold that piece of fabric up, you know, a certain angle, you can see it's still full of wrinkles. It's maddening. So I was trying to investigate a little bit about a dry iron, just an old-fashioned heavy iron that would heat up really hot without the use of steam. There's no steam holes or anything on this. So like I said, it has not arrived yet. It's something that I saw, I want to say maybe it was Bonnie Hunter's website. They were talking about it one time, and I also saw it on the quilting board, which is a great forum, by the way, if you've ever been on there. They've got answers to everything. And a lot of the gals on there were talking about this iron. So I found it on Amazon for like $14. I believe Home Depot also sells it, but for $25. And the Vermont Country Store also sells it for $25. But on Amazon, truly, you can't beat them with free shipping and $14. So it could be a case of you get what you pay for, or it could be the best darn thing I've ever done. So it's a crapshoot, people. It's a crapshoot. So I'll let you know how I make out with that, but I truly cannot wait. And I'm not the only one who's stocking the mail this week. My mom has gone and ordered herself a new sewing and embroidery machine. She was looking for an embroidery machine that would not cost $1 million or even $1,000. She was looking for something more in the under 500 range. And, you know, to her, it didn't really matter if the embroidery area was 4x4 or 7x9 or whatever. She just wanted to be able to have the ability to do some small embroidery. So she found, also on Amazon, the Brother SE400 machine, and it's $319 with Super Saver shipping. And I think normally it's anywhere from like $500 and up. And I think it's going to be perfect for her. She wants to be able to embellish some vests that she's making and sweatshirts and stuff. So she is eagerly awaiting the arrival, and she's stalking the mailman just like any good quilter should. So I'm hoping that arrives for her soon and she will get it up and running. And when she does, and she's, you know, had her learning curve time and all that, I am going to hope that she will do a little interview with me and tell us how the machine is. So good luck with that, Mom. One other thing to mention about that SE400 Brother machine is that it's also a sewing machine. It's a computerized embroidery and sewing machine. And it comes with a library of designs, and it's, like I said, it's computerized with USB, so she'll be able to hook it up to the computer and download some designs. So that sounds like a fantastic deal to me. All right, so the next thing that I'm working on getting out in the mail is a fabric postcard. Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us and I are doing a little swap. We are exchanging fabric postcards using the directions that came in the American Patchwork and Quilting December issue. I believe the instructions are on page 16. So I had wanted to try one, and Sandy had also thought she would like to try one, so we decided to swap with each other. My postcard is ready to go, and Sandy has told me she's not giving me her address until she's finished my postcard. So, okay, I'll wait. But that's all right. I did take photos of how I was making it. It's very simple to do with some of that Peltex double-sided stiff fusible stuff. And I did some fusible applique. I'm not going to tell you too much about it because Sandy might be listening, but I did take photos and I will put up on my blog those photos and how I did it, so you can try one too. I dare say those are going to be a bit of an addiction. Now, it'll be interesting when I actually go to the post office and ask them to hand stamp and to see, you know, what it costs. I believe it costs around 60 cents to mail. So we'll keep you posted on that. And let's see. The next item I wanted to talk to you about was, oh, yes. Over the summer, when we went to Keepsake Quilting, I purchased one of those crochet a rug with your fabric scrap kits. I think sometimes they're called toothbrush quilts or something. Toothbrush rugs, that's what they're called. Anyways, it came with a crochet hook and the instructions on how to crochet these strips together. So I started it, and there's two ways to join, I think they're 2-inch strips, two ways to join your strips together. One is that you join them on the sewing machine with a 1/4-inch seam, and you do it all ahead of time, and then you roll them into a ball, and then you crochet them from there. The second way, which is the way that I chose because I didn't have all my strips cut already, what you do is, this is going to be difficult to explain on a podcast, but basically you cut a slit in the ends of the strips. And you sort of loop them together and they form a knot. And that's sort of how you can join as you go, as you're sitting there on the couch crocheting them together. So that being said, I did that because it seemed to fit my need at the time. But when it came time for the actual crocheting, little ends are sticking out everywhere and they're not long enough to tuck them in. So it looks horrendous and it was hurting my hands and I basically gave up. Fast forward to, I went down to the quilt shop in Middleborough to visit my friend Janet, and lo and behold, on the floor in front of her cash register is the prettiest crocheted rug made with fabric strips. And I said, Janet, did you make that? And she said, yes, I did. Now, Janet has a great trick for making this, and it came out fabulous. And in fact, I will also say, she was looking at it with me, and she said, oh, it's so dirty, I should wash it. But you know what? We flipped it upside down, and now it looks like she's got a brand new rug sitting there, so she can probably get another year of use out of it before she even has to wash it. What she did was she took 11 yards of a striped fabric, and she cut it the width of 11 yards, so she didn't have very many ends to join. Genius. I think it's genius. I think that if you could go to Walmart or, Walmart's probably good, anywhere, or the clearance aisle, and get a fabric for like $2 a yard or $3 a yard, whether it's striped or not. I mean, it was nice that this one was striped because she got different color variations going through it. But if you have a table long enough or a floor long enough, and these strips don't have to be exactly 2 inches, no one is going to know, trust me, if you're a little bit off. But if you could cut those in really long strips or fold it and cut it, 11 yards long. Genius. So I'm going to try that next time I'm out and I see something that would pass for a good fabric for that. So that's my tip for you for today. I'm looking at the list of things that I wanted to share with you. And the list looked longer on the piece of paper than it really is. So we're going to move right along to the podcast research question, which was, what do you like best about a quilt show? And you could only pick one. Is it the quilts, the vendors, the food, or the raffles? So we had quite a few people respond to this, which is great. It makes it interesting. So I thank you so much for everyone who did. So let's go through them. Landscape Lady via Twitter said, thanks for the quilt gathering of you. And she is referring to a quilter's gathering in New Hampshire. She says, I want to go next year. Manchester isn't that far away. For your question, she says, why the vendors, of course. All right, Landscape Lady, she likes the vendors best. And Nancy left a comment that said, I definitely love the vendors the most. I'm not sure I would enjoy a show that truly was just quilts, although I would save a lot of money that way. She goes on to say, I enjoy your podcast, and like one of your previous listeners commented, I often listen just for the company when I'm cutting and sewing away in my studio. Thanks for being there and sharing. It is my absolute pleasure, Nancy, to be there and share with you guys. So thank you for leaving a comment. I know sometimes it's a pain to leave a comment, especially because I'm hearing my blog might have a little password problem where people are having a hard time leaving a comment. I may take the password thing off if I can figure out how to do it, but if I start to get a whole lot of spam, I'll have to put it back up. But we'll try it. Okay, and over on the Big Tent, which is having a major revival, it looks like. Yay, yay, yay. Let's see if I can decipher some of these screen names. F10 Warskunk says the quilts, they're inspiring. Cobalt Cat says, my favorite part is tied between the quilts and the vendors. I find myself filled with an elated sense of creativity when I see the amazing work others have created. Then the vendors open up my own creative ideas. They make me feel so happy, and I spend. Yes, I'm with you. Now, she was only supposed to pick one, but because she put it so eloquently, we'll let her pick two. And Scientific Quilter says, the quilts for sure. Although I've been to some shows where the vendors are the stars, the quilts always shine through for ideas and inspiration. Yes, I agree. Joy by Robin 1 says, absolutely the quilts. The quilts provide inspiration. Love to see techniques used, execution, and with quilts from foreign lands, the colors that are used together in a quilt. Yes, I enjoy the foreign ones too. It's so nice to see, you know, maybe a technique or something we're not used to seeing. Scarlet Quilts says, they are most definitely the quilts. I view them for inspiration and just enjoyment. I never stick around for raffles. I do visit the vendors, but my visit there is mostly to take in the quilts, and it's a big gear shift to shop. I tend to remember vendors who have someone doing a demonstration who offer a discount coupon at their shop for after the event, and those, if they do not have a brick and mortar storefront, to have a least an Etsy, if not online store, with business cards in their web address. I also like it that when there's information about the quilt artist, and I always vote on the quilt ballots for my favorite quilts. That could have been another category too, or is it the voting that you like the best? Thank you, Scarlet Quilts. Paula Haar says, if I can only pick one, it would be the vendors first. I look forward to seeing and having access to such a variety of fabric, gadgets, and gizmos under one roof. Me too. S.B. Sudbury is weighing in, saying, it's hard to pick just one, but I have to say the vendors. I often attend quilt shows in larger cities, and it's a tremendous opportunity to shop for quilt items that I can't find in my hometown. Yes, that's a very good point to make. Some of us don't have quilt shops near us, so to see all those vendors in one place with usually the newest stuff is really a huge opportunity. GFC Sailor says, since I can only pick one, it will be the quilt. So much inspiration under one roof. And Blossom MD says, vendors first to see what's new on the market. Yep, I agree. LA Quilter must admit it's the vendors. My reasons are similar to Blossom D's and Paula Haar's. Quilt and Jenny says, I would say my favorite part is the rush of inspiration and energy, the urge to go home and sew right now. It comes from the quilts and the vendors, sure, but also from snippets of conversations overheard, the vivid images and colors, the feeling of being part of something so much bigger than my own sewing room, and the desire to create. It is what I love about quilting, but sometimes get lost in the day-to-day stuff of living. I like quilt shows because they bring that feeling back, and I fall in love with the quilts all over again. That's so well written, Jenny. That really, truly is. And you're right. You do. Well, I would say you feel one of two things sometimes. You want to run home and sew, or you want to run home and take scissors to every quilt you ever made. Hopefully everyone's in the want to go home and sew category. Katie from Katie's Quilting says, the quilt's hand down. Even though I love to look at the fabrics live, I love to look at the texture and details of the quilts from up close and personal. I mostly get my fabrics online when they're on sale, because she doesn't have a local quilt store within 30 miles. So to her, quilts are more important. She says, I love to take pictures of the quilts, not just the winners though. I look at them a few times a year to get inspiration or ideas about how to quilt something. A quilt show is the only place where I don't feel bad going by myself. That's also an interesting thought, Katie. I think maybe I've only been to, maybe one quilt show at the library by myself. But I think you get lost in the quilts, and it's okay. It's okay if you're there by yourself. You can look around, go at your own pace. Okay, Jean Array says, hard to choose. I enjoy shopping at the vendors with multiple retailers in one place, all wanting to showcase the new things and fabrics. Small town life means fewer in-person choices, but it's the quilts that really blow me away, seeing the amazing, beautiful, creative, masterful quilts. I like the traditional, the artsy, the antique, the miniature, the embroidered, the large, and the small. And if my sisters have come too, it's all good. Yep, it's all good. Amy J. Dub, the quilts are my favorite part of the show. I haven't been to many shows, just two or three, I think, and I find them inspiring, intimidating a bit, but mostly inspiring. And I like to support those who put in so much time and effort at this art. I would probably enjoy the vendors, but I never have the money to spend. I know. That's it, right? We wish money grew on trees. We all wish we hit Powerball. Did you all play Powerball? I have to say, I'm so glad it's over now because I need to just let it go. I was buying 2 tickets a week from the time that jackpot started growing big up till someone won it yesterday. So, as far as the podcast research question and my own answer, I have to say, and I'm going to be totally honest, and I'm thrilled to see everybody was honest about it. For me, it's the vendors. It really is. I love to see the new stuff that they have. And I do enjoy the quilts. The quilts are truly, truly inspiring. You cannot deny that. But I think that it's an opportunity when you go there and you see all the new stuff on the market, especially for those of us who don't get to attend quilt market. And I think if I asked my daughter Lindsay, she would say, hands down, well, and Leah, the raffles. They love the raffles. They want to stick around until the numbers are drawn. So I think it all counts. It all comes together to make it the experience that it is. And we're so lucky that we do have these quilt shows to go to, big and small, and domestic and international, too. If you've ever been to that World Quilt Show, it's amazing. Really, really amazing to see the talent that comes out of the other countries, particularly like Japan and, you know, Germany. I think Germany won the big world show a few years ago, the one that I went to. It was unbelievable. All right, so that pretty much ends the podcast for right now. I hope that everyone has a good and quilty week and a nice holiday season. Hopefully I'll have some more to podcast about in the next week or two. I will do my homework on these magazines and bring you something exciting to talk about. Oh, we need another podcast question. Let's see. The new podcast question is this. If you were teaching a beginning quilter who had never quilted anything before, if you were to give them a lesson, what would you say the most important advice, or what would, maybe just what would your advice be to a new quilter? It could be about anything. It could be regarding the tools, the fabric selection, inspiration, just having fun with it. What would you say to them? And this is also twofold because I'm seriously considering teaching some beginning classes from my home, so it will help me too. So, new quilter, what is the piece of advice that you would give them? Okay, so now I'm really signing off. Have a great week. Come visit me on my blog. It's www.quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog. And there's some recipes on there, some free patterns. I will be putting up the gingerbread recipe hopefully this afternoon for those who were following along on Twitter about the gingerbread cake that I had made this week. And also visit my website. And you can get in touch with me at sewsandy8, S-E-W-S-A-N-D-I 8, at yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter under Quilt Cabana, Facebook under Quilt Cabana Patterns, and you can find my book on Amazon. It's called Little Quilts for Big Occasions, 7 Fun Fusible Projects, perfect for the holidays or for Christmas gifts. And that's it. I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Now,